Hi, Michaela Rockhold with the COVID Oral History Project at Wells College. Today's date is March 25th, 2022. I'm in Wells College with Nash. So, could you begin by telling us your by like tell us about yourself, your name, date of birth, and where you're born?
Yeah, sure. Thank you for interviewing me. It's an honor. My full name is Jude Nash, but I go by Nash here. I'm a junior. I'm a double major in women, trans, and queer studies, and I am with sustainability and a minor in business and psychology. I really like Wells.
Wow, you're fully loaded with all them majors and minors.
I like to make myself busy. I came in with a lot of like major requirements, so we're going with it.
Hell yeah. So, where did you live growing up?
A lot of places. I like to say that I lived a little bit of everywhere. I graduated from high school in Syracuse, but I lived part of my life in Manitoba, Canada, part of my life in and around just New York State in general. A lot of time in Rochester and a lot of time in Syracuse.
So were any of those places similar to where we are now, or are they
No.
different?
I've never lived in such a rural area as this. Like, no matter where we've been, we've always been like in the urban, like the downtown, like center of every city. So this is the most cow land I've been in, I'd say, and I like it.
Absolutely. I mean, we have a good array of cows and big birds, as I like to call them. So, tell us about the people that you lived when you were growing up, whether that's family, friends.
I honestly lived with everyone. My mom was a single mother, and we always grew up with a like agenda that we have to fight for the right to exist, which was kind of traumatic, but it's fine. But we did really good. She did as good as she could, and the rest of our family hindered and helped us along the way. A lot of my time was spent with my childhood best friends, families. I had three like really good best friends, and they all helped raise me as good as I could. And I still really appreciate them and their families. So it was a lot, but ultimately I'm happy, so.
Well, that's great. So, if one of like your family members or anyone that you grew up with, how would they describe you as a kid?
Chaotic, but in a inspiring way. I was a lot all at once, and nobody ever stopped me from, like, it was very clear I had ADHD from a young age, and nobody did anything about it because it wasn't harming anyone directly. So I would say that they would describe me as very creative and, yeah, creative.
I mean, that definitely describes you now still.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good though. That's
I like it.
good. So now we're gonna switch to more of like campus
Yeah.
centered. So when did you first start thinking about coming to college?
I knew I was going to go to college since I was younger. When I graduate from grad school, I'm going to open up my own camp for queer and inner city youth because that's really what made me into the person I am today. The summer camp I went to when I was younger, and I couldn't afford to go there, and from scholarships is how I got to go. So I want to do something like that specifically for queer kids and kids with disabilities who wouldn't get that experience.
Well, that's fantastic. When did you first start to hear about Wells College?
I first heard about Wells College with the 21st Leadership Scholarship. The year before me, one of my friends won it, but he was very uninterested, so that was the first time I heard about it. And then I won it my junior year, and it was definitely it was a choice to come to Wells. It was definitely not my number one choice. I didn't know I was coming to Wells until the decision day, actually, and the forces that be made me come to Wells, and I think I spent exactly 2 hours my first day around orientation, like looking around before I've even moved in, before figuring out that I'm gonna fall in love with this place, and I did.
What was your first choice?
Arizona State University.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm very happy I didn't go there. Knowing me now and knowing like I did so much growing up within the past few years, and I don't think I would have done as much growing if I was at ASU. I'm a very personal person, so knowing a lot of people is really nice. And like I said, this is the smallest student body I've ever had. Like in high school, I think we had a graduating class around 5,000. So that's like five Wells.
Yeah.
I could not imagine that.
No, I couldn't either. This place is so small, but it's so local and it's nice
I
here.
love it so much.
So now we're gonna get into the main focus of this interview, which is centered around COVID and before, during, and presumably after COVID. So now we're gonna shift into early COVID. So when did you first hear about COVID?
The first time I heard about COVID is one of my, so this was actually Professor Vic Munoz. They're my advisor. They're one of the people I like attribute a lot of my success to here at Wells. I was in their I think it was Indigenous women's psychology class, and we're not just focusing on just like women, but that week, and it was in early February, I'd like to say. It was a hectic week, and I remember Munoz bringing up the topic, the current history topic, because that's what they start every class with, and it was that this mystery virus was killing Indigenous women in parts of like Asia, and I was very confused. I was like, that sucks. And this class was very heavy, so that was the first time I remember hearing about it, because this was in Wuhan. So that, and then the first time I took it seriously, I'd say, was probably the week before spring break. I had just gotten my car on campus for the first time, and me and my friends were down in Ithaca, and it was our first, like literally our first time. I was the first friend to have a car on campus. And we went out to the McDonald's down there. And I remember sitting in my car while they all ran in because I don't eat McDonald's. And I remember like looking across the street, and there was this guy on the side of the road that said that he was homeless due to coronavirus. And I was like, what is coronavirus? I legit was like, oh, the beer? I really did think that this guy was like, I'm homeless because my alcohol addiction. Like, that's how dumb I was, because you know, I hadn't heard. I just heard it as like COVID at that point. I was like, that's weird. But I remember his sign said something along the lines of, Corona took my wife and money. Anything will help. And I was like, that's really weird. And then like almost the next day is when the news just like took off with it. And spring break was the first week of, I think we left on like the 3rd of March. And I don't have the best like place to go back to, so I stayed for every break here at Wells, and it was one of the most in like whimsical and just like chimerical times of my life that week. That was the first time I heard of it.
Yeah, that's pretty surreal.
Oh my God, yeah.
What were people around you saying about COVID during like the beginning of it? What were people's original thoughts?
I think I have a very different view of it because there's a group of people that will stay over at Wells over break, and I don't want to say we have no one or nothing to go home to, but like there's definitely some people who it is so much safer to stay at Wells for them, whether it be mentally or physically safe. And we all would hang out, and we would have fires. It was a really nice week, and I like to say that the beginning of COVID like really showed how insane it was. I was the youngest there. I was the only first year. The rest of them were all upperclassmen. And like everyone around me, they were also confused, but they had a situation where like they also couldn't go anywhere, and Wells is like the only place we could go. And it was just like it kept reminding us of that over and over as the week went on, because like Wells is being very transparent with us. Like, they were giving us updates before they gave the rest of the school updates, because Wells is so small, we have that ability, and like the people deciding it lived on campus. So they would like have their meetings, and then immediately like walking back to their houses, be like, this is what we just talked about, this is what's happening. And then like 20 minutes later, the rest of campus would be emailed because we were on spring break.
How are you doing mentally during that time?
Oh my God. So you can, like, whenever I look back at my social media, like, you can tell it was bad, because in the beginning it was really nice. I'm the type of person there, I like alone togetherness, where, like, I'm off on my own doing my own thing, but when I'm with a group of people, like, basically, like, being alone in public is, I love that shit so much. And I did that a lot in Ithaca that week. And I vividly remember the day that they sent, like, the 13th was the last day of school for Ithaca students, like in the Ithaca school district. And I vividly remember chilling at the Ithaca library, doing my, I was doing an assignment for Kara Bessner's class. And I remember a bunch of students coming in and being like, yeah, no, class, like school just got canceled. We were only there for 2 hours. And I remember being like, well, that's weird. It's like a random Monday. Why? And then later that day, they announced that our spring break was going to be extended a week. So I was like, oh, fuck.
So actually, that's a really good transition to the next topic is lockdown. Where were you when you, obviously, when you first heard that like we were going into lockdown?
The first, so we were told 24 hours in advance, and the way that it happened was they're by that point, when people started realizing that COVID was, I think that the best way to describe it is when they announced that we would be extending our spring break, half of the people who were still on campus left immediately. And those of us who couldn't leave, didn't, you know, it was unsafe. Like, it was genuinely physically and mentally very unsafe for me to be anywhere but at Wells at that time. So, I think that they told us, they went out of their meeting the few days later and they told us, like, hey guys, like, we're so sorry. We're going to help you get wherever you need to be, but you cannot stay on campus. And it was at that point where I realized, like, they, like, oh, fuck, like, I'm being kicked out. And I was like, that's not good. I was offered a place to stay with a local alumni, but it was at the point where I would be, like, sacrificing who I am as a person because alumni wasn't exactly supportive of who I am as a person. And I didn't know how long this lockdown would be, but it was also at that point where they're like, we're not going to be coming back for the semester and we're not announcing. They very politely were like, do not announce that to students. Like, do not tell your friends. Do not tell anyone that we're not coming back, but you guys will not be coming back until at least the fall earliest. And we were told this like a good week before the rest of the student body. So it was very harrowing because I'm like, well, that's at least another 3 months. And I didn't know if I could do that. I still don't think, I genuinely don't think I could have done that. So my mental health definitely decreased over that time. What I ended up doing, I have an emotional support cat on campus. I put her in her backpack and I put her in the passenger seat of my car. And then I completely took every single thing in my room and put it in my car. I think my really good packing skills to always moving growing up. But like, I packed up my dorm because they confirmed that we wouldn't be coming back, so I needed all of the stuff. And I actually went to Rochester, which is an hour and a half from here, and I visited three of my friends from Wells, and we watched the sunset on top of a parking garage in downtown Rochester. And I like to say, like, that's the day that the world like froze, because this was the like, it was a pink, blue, like red. It was a beautiful sunset, and we all just like sat there silent for like a good hour watching the sunset go down. And after that, everything just like went downhill. But that was probably one of my like favorite moments in life in general. But everything was just frozen. It was really weird.
It definitely, it felt like the beginning of the end,
Yes.
where it was, oh, you guys are definitely gonna come back, because I was in high
Yes.
school at the time, so it was, you guys are gonna come back, it's only 2 weeks. And then it turned into months.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine being a college student where you had the information that you were not coming back at all, while everyone else were like, oh, we'll be back, so they left their
And
stuff.
like I kid you, they offered us incentives to stay quiet about it. They did
Oh.
not want the rest of the student body to know because there were only like 5 or 6 of us who were left at that time because everyone else had left. And we all stayed until like literally we stayed until campus security was waiting outside of our dorm rooms waiting for us to leave so they could like make sure we were gone. Which was very, it felt like they were just kicking us out. Like they gave us 24-hour notice, but like some people need more than that to like escape, especially the people who were staying. Like none of us had a safe place to go to. So it was very, it sucked. Like for lack of a better word, it sucked.
How did your life change during the lockdown as a whole?
A lot, my mother is not mentally stable. She still isn't. She has never been. I love her with all of my heart. I owe a lot of who I am to her. But at this lockdown, one of the biggest reasons I could not go home is because her ex-boyfriend had threatened to kill me, I think a total of 5 times within the hour I left home, like for the spring semester in January. I came back 2 weeks early for reference. But like, I didn't, because like the last conversation like that I had with her other than how's the like how are you good okay have a nice day was me your boyfriend threatened to kill you K kill me and her being like well what did you do so I was going back home to that situation with a cat that she was allergic to and what I did I still to this day say that me adopting her dog on my way home from college is what like made quarantine even decently okay. But when I left Rochester, I stayed over with them for 2 days and then eventually like it got to the point where right when they were like everyone like masked up, I drove home and I was driving through Penyand and I came across a golden retriever rescue and this lady was on the side of the road and they were like, we are going back home downstate because of the pandemic, because this was a few days after they officially like said it was a global pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And she had two golden retrievers on the side of the road and she was like, we need to get rid of them. I will only charge you $50. And my mother, since the day she was like able to communicate, has said that she wanted a golden retriever.
Mm-hmm.
So I paid $50, my last $50. I think I had like a total of $75 in my account, paid her $50, took the dog home, and I gave her the dog as I arrived home for quarantine.
Oh.
And to this day, like Milo, the golden retriever puppy, is what I think genuinely made it decently okay for me to stay home.
Yeah.
And then after that, I lived with my very old great-grandmother. She was 100 at the time. Her and her sister were living together. They should not have, they probably should have been in a nursing home, but they had each other and me. So I stayed with her and her 101-year-old sister, my great-aunt, for most of quarantine. But I kid you not, most of quarantine was spent in my car with me and my cat driving around. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, at least gas prices were low.
Gas prices were under a dollar.
Yeah.
It was really nice.
Well, I guess that's kind of a dub. So now more to government-based questions. So as scientists learn more about the virus, government officials begin to impose mandates. What did you think about the mask mandate when it first released?
When it first released, I was kind of skeptical because my mother worked in her part-time job was in healthcare transportation, and what I was hearing was that there were so many people who didn't need masks were taking them away from medical professionals.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very like, do I actually need these masks or should I be donating them to medical professionals?
Yeah.
So I had these two masks and I still have both of them, and I wore those for the majority of the beginning of quarantine because I didn't know, but I figured having one or two wouldn't hurt me. So it was just very, like, information all at once, in my opinion. After a little bit of quarantine, my cousin, she's as good as a mom as she can be. Her and her brother, they're both parents. But there was a point where she found me at my great aunt's house, dropped off her three children, and I don't think that she saw her kids for the rest, like, that entire month extra. And then her brother, my other cousin, he also dropped his two kids off. And I was teaching them for, like, the entire month of May and June of quarantine.
Yeah.
As long with, like, doing wells and along with working. So I vividly remember that. And I remember her kids were so anti-government for being under the age of 10. Like, these kids were literally, like, propaganda. And I'm like, you're five. You are a five-year-old. How do you pronounce that? So a lot of it was very censored because I was with children.
Yeah.
Teaching them, and their teachers also didn't know what to do to tell them.
Yeah.
So it was very whack.
So what did you think about when the vaccine was announced?
I was with my sister when it was announced, and my sister works in a pharmacy, and the way that we found out was her employer messaging her and saying, like, here's your vaccine date, be here, you have no choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember me and her looking at each other and we're like, well, stick me at him, Scotty. So I just continued looking. I vividly remember, this is for a Renfro class, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so I vividly remember, Renfro, if you're listening to this, I was in your class, the animal psychology, and I was in the back corner. Marissa was next to me, and I was refreshing the page on the CDC website trying to get a vaccine appointment. I vividly remember getting one at, like, 8 a.m. and, like, jumping up and screaming yes, and you looking at me and me being like, oh, my cat did something cute. On the webcam, it was me getting my vaccine appointment.
I think equally as exciting, though.
Yes, definitely.
Getting a vaccine appointment was probably one of the hardest things I had to get.
Yeah, I also got mine, like, the end of February, so I got mine
early.
Very early.
Yeah.
Sorry, Renfro.
So what did you think about the mandate of the vaccine?
Well, from a very personal point, I think that we wouldn't be on campus still if we didn't ask and plead everyone to get vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand, from the ethical point of view, I can understand where some groups do not feel comfortable getting vaccinated. One of my best friends from high school, his dad was part of the placebo experiments, and They're both from Nigeria, and they immigrated here when my friend Nolan was very, very young. And they essentially were vaccinated against things they didn't need vaccinated for. They were, like, not, like, for lack of a better term, poisoned with, like, vaccines they shouldn't have gotten, and they caused them, like, major, major issues without being told.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, from some standpoints like that, I definitely understand people not wanting to get vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also from the point where, like, at some point I have to put my health beyond someone else's.
Absolutely.
And I feel like whenever someone's like, I'm not vaccinated, I'm not going to take my mask off around you.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's those kinds of things where, like, I will respect you not getting vaccinated, but that doesn't mean I accept it.
Yeah. And what about the controversies surrounding people who just didn't want it abdomenly for no apparent reason?
They didn't want it because the government isn't putting chips in their Doritos.
Yeah. Yeah.
Once again, I'm just going to wear my mask around you, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to touch you. I hope you have a great time. Hit me up when you get COVID for the fourth time if you need groceries.
Oh, yeah.
I'll Instacart them to your house.
Absolutely. Yep.
But no thank you.
No thanks. Yeah. What about the stimulus checks? How did that impact you? Did you get a stimulus?
Yeah, so for lack of a better term, the government fucked us up. Like, they fucked us over. Specifically the college-age students, who are dependents. In the first stimulus check, if you were a dependent of your parent, you got money, but you didn't get it. Your parents got it.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen a drop of any stimulus from that time to this day. And it's an issue like this. Like, you can say, like, it's your parent. They claim you as a dependent. They're going to give you... No, they're not.
Yep.
My money... Like, that stimulus check, like, it went to feeding, like, our family, probably, or it went to something like that, but that doesn't mean that I wasn't getting in, like, another $100 of student debt.
Yeah.
Like, $100 may not seem like much, but, like, it still could be used to pay back my debt.
Yeah.
And ultimately, no matter how hard they say, you're getting it, your parent's just in their account. No, my parent is getting it.
Not me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a big chunk of the pandemic was spent with Black Lives Matter.
Yes, it was.
So several political protests took place during this period. Many had to do with COVID, but others were associated with Black Lives Matter and other social movements. Did you or others around you participate in any of these protests?
So as I was saying, I taught my cousins for a little bit of COVID times when their mother was not great. Our lesson on government and history was going to the Black Lives Matter protests in Syracuse.
Mm-hmm.
And my cousin loved that I did that. She wished that I would have told her about it maybe before she saw us in the newspaper. But you know how it'd be. So yeah, I went to the protests. Something that was really interesting about the protests is that one time we went to the Ithaca BLM protest, and some stuff happened with my sister and her now ex-boyfriend, and we were driving home, and it was late at night, back to Syracuse. And I would say it was about 1 in the morning, and in Syracuse, the BLM protests went until about midnight, and everyone would be leaving. And the way that downtown Syracuse works is that there are 5 ways to enter and exit. The 4 of the ways were completely shut down, the police barricades all around it, so you essentially could only exit and enter through Erie Boulevard, which is a straight and back, like, lane highway. It was late at night. We weren't running into many cars. And to get to where I was staying with my great aunt and great grandma, you would have to go down these roads into downtown Syracuse. So we were going into where the protests were happening, but, you know, we lived there. And we got pulled over.
Oh.
And something to note about my car is that I have a giant BLM sign in the back of my car that you can see walking by it, driving by it. A lot of people don't like it. I love it. It's fun. You know, it's the truth. And then I have some pride flags and some other things showing that I'm definitely not a Republican.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term. And, well, we got pulled over, and the cop went up to us without a mask on, of course. And this is in early June 2020, so, you know, COVID's kind of still going on. So I'm double masked. My sister's double masked in the car. And the cop knocks on my window. I roll it down a little bit. He's like, you rolled your window down more. I'm like, you put a mask on. He's like, please don't be disrespectful. And I'm like, okay, thanks. So I roll my window down. He's like, why did I pull you over? And I was like, To be honest, sir, I really don't know. He reaches into my car, and I have a video recording of this. My sister is taking a video recording because, you know, cops might not be too safe. And I'm a trans man. They don't like trans people. And my sister's recording this, so I have seen it several times. I have the recording. My headlights were on. My brights were not on. There is a blue flashing neon sign in my car when my brights are on. It's very annoying, which is why I don't like to have my brights on. I would not have my brights on in the city. I learned to drive in the city.
Mm-hmm.
He turns my brights on. He reaches in, turns my brights on, and says, "See, your brights were on." And me and my sister are very confused because this cop just reached into our car, and I was like, "Okay, do you need my license and registration?" He's like, "Yes." Misgenders me, of course, and I correct him, and he's like, "Thanks," rips them out of my hand, walks back to his car. Me and my sister are very confused because, you know, this guy just turned our brights on. We have video evidence of it.
Mm-hmm.
And his partner, on the other hand, is just questioning my sister for no reason. My sister is not doing good. Like, her makeup is running down. She had a bad day. And at one point, I'm just like, "Hey, she's not doing good. Like, why are you questioning her? She's under the age of 18. Please stop." So the cops didn't like us, but they let us go. And we were very confused. And before we left, they said, they asked us if we were coming from the protests. And we were not. And at one point, they just kept pestering. I was like, "Listen, like, I live in Syracuse. Like, I could show you my address. Like, you can follow me into my house if you want."
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why you want to. But at the end, they said, "Hey, next time you're protesting, make sure you know what you're protesting for." And me and my sister, once again, very confused. We get to the gas station we're going to because I have to fill up on gas. And my sister sees the sign in the back window. And she's like, "Oh, is this why we got pulled over?" And we're like, "Oh, fuck." So that was the most relevant experience I had with that. Besides, we went to all the ones we can because we didn't get our employment back until the summertime. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Why was it important for you to go to these protests?
Because it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Plain out, it's the truth. And I shout loudly. I've been told by several sources that I don't shut the fuck up. And I'd rather use that for progress rather than, like, shutting up.
Absolutely. So this next section is really personal. So if you don't feel like answering a question, that is okay. Just let me know and I can skip it. So obviously COVID killed people and infected a lot of individuals. So did the illness impact you or your family?
Yes.
And if so, would you mind sharing some of them?
Yes. There's been a trigger warning. I'm surrounded by this ominous cloud of people dying around me and me not knowing how to process it, nor ever processing it. Trigger warning. A lot of people die around me. Sorry. March 2020, 2 weeks into the pandemic, my great aunt and my great uncle at the time are chilling out, and my great uncle, he had a issue where he had beat cancer about 20 years ago. Got regular checks to make sure it didn't come back. He figured that his catheter that he got from cancer, it was just a little bit infected. We take him to the hospital. He has COVID. He was the first case of asymptomatic COVID I've ever seen. And it was really early in the pandemic, so this was, like, fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
He was 99 at the time, so my great aunt was 101. My great grandma was 100. They didn't allow any of us in the hospital. My great uncle didn't know how to Skype. Within 24 hours of him getting to the hospital, he passed away.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And it was a fucking blindside because asymptomatic, and, like, everything progressed over the course of, like, 5 hours. And they tried to play it off, our doctors, as it was his cancer that killed him. But then we got the papers back, and it clearly, in, like, said respiratory failure from, like, COVID-19.
Yeah.
And we were like, cancer, got it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first one, and that was a shock right there off the bat. 2 months later, June 13th, 2020, also known as my birthday, continues the theme of people dying on my birthday. My next door neighbor, so my mother's next door neighbor, I was helping out my cousin, and we were at my mother's house because I was doing a lesson on animals for my little friends, my little cans. My campers. I call them my summer campers because they always wanted to go to camp, but their mother wouldn't let them. They were just my cousins.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm woken up at like 5 a.m. by this sweet lady who lives next to us in the apartment complex, like banging on my window because my window was the ground floor. And she's like sobbing, and I love Antoinette with my entire heart. So I climb out the window. So like, it's the city. Don't worry about it. And, her husband had collapsed on the ground. Mm-hmm. And like, you could tell, like there was something had happened. He passed away in their house that morning, from respiratory failure due to COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
And I consoled her and helped her out. So that was the second one. And then, not even less than like 12 hours later, I get note that one of my friends from my high school theater had passed away that day as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't as close post-graduation, but like I still like I perform, like she was one of the performers who I like always like gave an extra hug to after performances because her parents wouldn't go to them.
Oh.
So like it sucked to see all of this within like my birthday.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So many people have passed upon that, like throughout the rest of the time, the rest of 2020 into early 2021, a lot of people were sick. And mm-hmm. my best friend from childhood, him and his family, they lived directly behind us. I love them with my entire heart. To this day, I have a very close relationship to his brother. Me and Leaf were born on the same day. Cole was born 2 months to the day earlier than us. And then their younger sister, Raspberry, is a little less than 2 years younger than us. So us three, like, we're very, very close growing up. And then on our 14th birthday, Leaf, like, a few days after our 14th birthday, Leaf moved to London with his family for his dad's work. And they were coming back slated for summer 2020. So obviously because of COVID, that couldn't happen.
Yep.
We were all very, you know, bummed by it. But they still had all hopes in being able to return at some point soon.
Mm-hmm.
And Leaf, as you should know, due to an assault that we both went through when we were younger, contracted HIV. And that's a very relevant thing in this. But he had a severely compromised immune system. Like, so much that when COVID was first announced in, like, Wuhan, he went to online schooling for the spring semester of his freshman year, and then he ultimately took a gap year. He would have continued this year. This didn't happen. But a few days into, like, at the end of May 2021, he was feeling really sick, and it came out that he had, what's it called? Pneumonia. And pneumonia can progress very quickly into COVID at times.
Mm-hmm.
So it did. And he was in the hospital, and we were very, like, we were keeping close communication. And a few days before our 20th birthday, his brother, like, reached out to me and was like, hey, they're going to put him in a preliminary coma. It's like, things are looking okay, but we just want to be safe. And that day is also when they were like, hey, best friend has COVID. I cannot describe to you how earth-shattering that was.
Mm-hmm.
Because for a kid like Leaf, like, immunocompromised in general, like, that's terrifying. Leaf had such a weak immune system that, like, that was a death sentence in itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, I was a bit worried, but Leaf himself, like, called me before he went into his little coma to be like, I've asked them, like, it'll be okay, like, we're gonna celebrate our birthday together, even if we're C apart. And I was like, okay, I trust you, like, okay. So, our birthday weekend comes up, and it is June 12th, for us, and they're a few hours ahead on their side. So at midnight, I, do all the happy birthday, I love you, blah, 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 blah. I can't wait for you to respond to this later today.
Yeah.
And I, of course, knew, like, they were waking him up on our birthday. He wouldn't be able to, like, see anything, but I still wanted him to know.
Mm-hmm.
About 5 minutes before June 13th, Eastern Standard Time, I get a call from Cole, and it's essentially, and I was having a rough night already, I get a call from Cole, and it's him breaking the fuck down. And this has been a common occurrence around this time, because Cole, me, and Leaf were closer than close,
mm-hmm.
and with them moving across seas, like, they were very close. They were only 2 months apart. Like, they essentially, for all lack of words, they were twins.
Yeah.
And Cole is, like, in his very funny humor, is like, you'll never get to have another birthday with him again. I was confused. I was like, What? Because, like, Cole, why would you say that? But once again, Cole's a fucking piece of shit. LOL, love you. But, yeah, no, Leaf passed away a few minutes into our 20th birthday day. And, because of COVID. So that was probably the most, like, death that hit me, because mm-hmm. he was the one I was closest to. Yeah, that sucked a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry, but thank you for sharing that. That's...
Trigger warning. Everyone dies around me.
Oh, Nash. Yes. Oh, Nash. Well, on a lighter note. So, we need to pick up the pace just a tad for the sake of time, because Nash has to leave in about 13 minutes.
I'm so sorry.
So, No. Okay, so we're gonna go into, like, how Wells College changed because of the pandemic. So, in what ways did the pandemic impact you as a college student?
Wells went to shit. No offense. Like, there are still very good parts because on this campus, and I will go down in history saying that this campus has good, can be good, and will be good. But just like other college campuses, this pandemic rippled through everywhere. Mm-hmm. We were already facing issues financially at Wells, and it just attacked the student body. We did not know where we were living until 2 days before I moved in for freshman class.
Yeah.
Orientation. So I was essentially packing up, getting ready to come back here, having no idea where I would be living, mm-hmm. having no idea if who I had for a roommate would be okay.
Yeah.
Having just no info on. I didn't know if my classes were approved until 2 days before, like, I came back on campus.
Yeah.
And whether it be issues with staffing, issues with, like, placement, that was kind of scary. I'm not
gonna
lie.
Yeah.
But I definitely say that it's the same thing. We were told to stay in our rooms and to stay with our bubble, to stay with the same small group.
Yep.
Make sure you wear masks around them still. Make sure you're social distancing.
Yeah.
Don't go outside if you don't have to. Don't go things if you don't want to. Here's the virtual link to do this. Here's a virtual link to do that.
Yeah.
Wells is not a virtual campus.
Absolutely not.
We are a in-person place. Mm-hmm. One of my friends stayed home for the fall semester, and I genuinely think that she's not doing as great as she could be because of that.
Yeah.
And it's not to no fault of her own, but, like, safety does overweigh, like, being around people.
100%.
But the social ability on this campus has completely just gone to shit, and I'm a very social person,
mm-hmm.
and I also feel it. I also want to be in my room more.
Yeah. So I'm going to piggyback off of, like, the social part. Obviously, Wells has a lot of traditions.
Oh my God, yes.
So how did COVID impact the traditions?
The whole us being able to do all, even in the fall of 2020, is to this day a miracle. And I will give credit to every single coach and every single song mama and every single player on those teams for making it work. However, there is an issue when only one tradition occurs every semester.
Mm-hmm.
And that tradition, it was, like, very tiny compared to other years. But I really don't know how to say it other than, like, there comes a point when modified traditions are great, but we still need to explain why they were modified and fix them when it's able to be unmodified.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, we need to try, which I'm not saying West students didn't try. They tried more than ever, but...
Yeah.
We need to acknowledge, like, now, because the pandemic is still going, but things have gotten slightly better.
Mm-hmm.
Things are turning up on the bright side. We have more people who want to do more things.
Yeah.
The Wells students need to do more things, and I know how exhausting it is, but we need to do more things.
No, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. And on the flip side of that, we also, as Wells students, need to know that people are fucking exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, school is hard. It's really hard, and it's a very delicate, like, balance of professors understanding, staff members understanding, and students understanding that, like, we're all, like, this insomnia that we're all facing, we're all also facing it. It's just displayed in different ways.
Yeah.
That's it.
So now that we're gonna, like, tone down the interview, so now we're going back to normal, quote unquote, hopefully, maybe. How do you think things are going, like, right now? Do you see an end in our imminent future, maybe in like the next couple of months, or?
There's talk at Wells about removing the mask mandate.
Yeah.
And where I don't personally feel comfortable removing my mask yet.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand why others may.
Yes.
I can definitely get that. I see both sides of it. I have a good way of seeing both sides of it. And for those who will take off their masks, sure. Okay. For those who don't, sure. Okay. I don't think that anything will ever be like it was. For example, the place I work at, we had to put like certain things like drink stirrers, straws and things behind the counter.
Mm-hmm.
And we've actually like, we're going to keep it like that for the foreseeable forever.
Yeah.
Like even if this pandemic didn't happen, it was probably going to end up to be that way, but like reusing mm-hmm. that. And I think that using the, like the pandemic is a good source of like why people can and can't do things.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, one of the last questions is what lessons or knowledge have you gained over the past couple of years that you will take with you for the rest of your life?
Hug your friends.
mm-hmm.
I'm a very, like I said, I'm a very social person. A lot of my well-being will come from my friends and the people I surround myself with.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten a closer connection with my friends and a few of my family members, who are my friends as well. And, honestly, in the end, nothing will ever beat, actually I'll share this like a little story to further my point. I hugged my friend, Kenzie Vanacore on the last day before I didn't see her for a year and a half because of COVID, because she moved to a different school. I did not know that was my last hug with her. I would have had it be longer. I would have had it been much more meaningful than a quick hug. See you later.
Yeah.
I saw her again last weekend, and I think the way that I hugged her, like, and she's been uncomfy with hugging until now, I tackled her. I asked her in advance if it would be okay, and I tackled mm-hmm. her, and we stayed connected for a solid hour almost.
Oh.
Like, it's just, like, stuff, like, small stuff like that. Like,
mm-hmm.
you never know when the last time will be, and every hello and goodbye I say is a lot more meaningful now because of mm-hmm. that. And also, outside is nice. I've always been an outside kind of guy, but like, I can't go more than a few days without like taking a hike outside
mm-hmm.
now because of the pandemic. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah. It made you appreciate a lot of the little things that most people don't really yeah. think about.
Yeah.
So are there any topics you expected or hoped that we would cover and that I haven't addressed?
You covered all of them, I'd say. I'm actually really interested to hear. I love talking to people who are like the class of 2020 and class of 2021 on their experience because I wasn't yeah. in high school.
Yeah.
My sister was in an accelerated program where she was at college more than high school during yeah. her senior year. And our younger brother was only in middle school, so it was kind of weird.
Yeah.
But like, I just love hearing stories just in general. So.
Mm-hmm. So are there any other topics that you would like to revisit or is that it?
You're a very good interviewer. That's it.
Thank you.
Just shouting you out.
Well, thank you for agreeing to let me interview you because I've never done an interview. We're at 43 minutes and it's 3:55, so you're right on the dot. So thank you for also sharing really personal experiences.
Trigger warning to everyone.
So thank you.